Welcome along to the podcast, and this is a very special show today because this is one that's close to my heart, because I think I've mentioned a few times on the air that I was bullied as a child, so much so that I lost all my hair when I was 9 years of age. And we've talked about bullying on the show on numerous occasions. And so many children particularly go through a bad time when they're picked on by other children and bullied. So much so that it can affect them mentally. It affects their emotional well-being. It affects everything about them, including physically how they are, because people can have anxiety and it can take a huge toll on the human body. And yet, here we are. I mean, look, it was 57 years ago that I was bullied, and we're still in the same situation. We still have children being bullied on a regular basis. And something that I never understood, and certainly it wasn't a thing when I was a child, that we see young people taking their own lives because they're bullied so much. And I think a lot of that nowadays is to do with the fact, at least to some degree, when I was a child, I could step away from the bullying. Because when I went home from school at 4 o'clock, I'd lock myself in my room or hide myself in the house or whatever it was, and the bully couldn't come near you. But nowadays, unfortunately for kids, the bully goes home in their pocket with them. And it goes home on their mobile phone. Because as we know, social media has played a huge role in bullying. Well, one woman who has seen the devastating effects of that is Jackie Fox, whose own daughter Nicole took her own life 6 years ago, almost to the day, when she was bullied so badly that she felt there was no other way out, even if it meant hurting her own mother. And there's a documentary. It starts tonight on RTÉ at 9:35. And it's called Jackie and Coco. And Coco was Nicole's nickname. And because of Coco and because of Jackie, we now have laws. We have a law called Coco's Law, which basically is a law that prevents people being harassed. Well, that's certainly the dream, that it prevents people being harassed. Joining me today is Jackie Fox, mother of Nicole Coco, who was 21 years of age when she took her own life. Jackie, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Jackie, and I'm really, really conscious, and we know each other very well over the years. We've interviewed and we've talked to each other going back over the last 6 years. And I'm very, very conscious, of course, that the anniversary of Nicole is literally in the last day or two. And that is something as well. And the documentary is out tonight. So this must be a very, very difficult time for you.
Yeah, it's just been really emotional, as you said. We found Nicole on the 18th and she died on the 20th. So it's the 3 days that, you know, I'd have to get through myself and my family. But
Does that get easier for you as the years go by? I suppose because you're keeping yourself busy, you know, with Nicole's name, does it get easier?
No, I'm not going to lie. It absolutely doesn't. I think the easiest time was the first year when Nicole died, because everything was a blur. You know, you're getting dragged along, you know you don't really understand what's going on. But anything after that, it's getting harder and harder, because you see people, you know, going on the holidays or having kids or having their job, you see people moving on, and Nicole is never going to do that, you know. I don't understand how missing someone can get easier, you know. And the longer and longer now, I just miss her even more than I ever did.
I know people use that cliche that time is a great healer, but that's easy if you're the person saying it and not the person on the receiving end of it. Let's go back a little bit in time if we can. Nicole was such a beautiful young human being, and we've got a picture of her there, you and Nicole together. And it's a beautiful picture, by the way, of the two of you together. Affectionately known as Coco. Firstly, tell us a little bit about her. What sort of child was she? Before all this started, and we'll come to when all this started in a few minutes, as a child, was she outgoing? Yeah. Was she happy?
Yeah.
Did she always seem happy?
Yeah, do you know what? She was always a funny little kid. She always had these little one-liners, you know, that would be really funny. And she was bubbly. She was lively. She was very popular when she was younger as well. You know, she had a steady group of friends all the way up through her childhood, you know. Don't get me wrong, she was cheeky. even in arguments, we used to run up the stairs and I'd chase her up the stairs and she'd still have to get the last word. She loved to sing, Niall. She loved to sing and dance, and Nicole had the most horrific singing voice that you could only begin to imagine. She was so bad at singing,
But she thought
but
she was
she didn't.
Adele.
Oh, she thought, yeah, she thought, but it didn't stop her. She just kept singing and singing. And she was great in, she loved maths and she wanted to be do something with accounts or something when she got older. And, you know, she did want to travel a lot, but she never got to do any of these things. But she was, she wasn't just my daughter. She was my best friend. She was
I was going to
always
say,
like,
it strikes me because it was just the two of you. It strikes me as you were just mates, as well as being a parent and a good parent, but you were like mates apart from anything else, which probably came in the way of being a parent every now and again, mind you. You probably let it slide a lot of the time. But you would have been very in touch with her emotionally. So you could see changes and patterns in her behavior that, you know, as a mother, as well as a best friend and a mother, because it was just the two, you would have seen those changes, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course. She from my bubbly, funny, beautiful, lively girl, she, you know, when the abuse started happening, she wasn't smiling as much, or she although she told me everything that's going on, she also spends a lot of time in her room. And she wouldn't come out of her room a lot, and she'd watch Netflix, or she'd fall asleep, or, you know, she'd be just crying in her room. And I've seen a huge change in her, from that outgoing person
And
to
did you
someone
write?
that's just so withdrawn. And
Did you write some of that off as, you know, just being a teenager? Because we all know the teenagers can become a little bit withdrawn. Sometimes their parents can be an inconvenience to them. So did you write some of that off as just being a teenager?
I didn't, because Nicole was so honest. She was always honest and open with me on everything. You know, we were both honest and open with each other. So I didn't write it off as just being like a teenage little brat, you know, spoiled little, looking for attention. I knew Nicole would. She was just that type of person where she'd be dying to go out, you know, and have a few drinks and have a laugh and stuff. I knew she wasn't just being a teenager, because the things that she used to come back and tell me what these people used to do to her, I knew it was affecting her, affecting her and her personality. So definitely no, that, like my other two boys, I'd say yeah, definitely they're just being brats. But with Nicole it was different, you know,
And what age
she
did it start? I mean, when did you notice the change? What age was she? We know she passed away when she was 21, but what age was she
yeah
when all this kind of started?
it was like around when she turned 18 to get into the Force nightclub, and probably a little bit before that when she was only meeting these so-called friends. But mainly when she turned 18, it all started in a nightclub because of jealousy and drama, which was admitted by one of the people that did it. So she was 18 up until 21, or 17
And
and
they
a
were
half,
jealous of her because
20
she was a
years.
beautiful young woman, and they were jealous. And look, you know, we know jealousy can be a fact of life, you know, particularly when it comes to admiring other people. But they went a step further. So what, I know they had set up social media accounts under a name, an assumed name as well, pretending to be her too. What did they do to her? What were they saying to her?
Not the physical abuse, just the online abuse, is it? Just with the online abuse, they did make up a WhatsApp page, and obviously Nicole wasn't invited into the WhatsApp page, but all the other, you know, everyone else, you know, the group that targeted Nicole did start off with one, but got bigger and bigger and bigger. So all these people were joining in on the WhatsApp group, and it wasn't until Nicole's friend Cara got invited into the group that he told Nicole. But they did send around a video of a girl, some random girl, with her face was blurred out, and this girl was with three other men, and they shared that all around, saying, "Look what Nicole's doing." But every day they told her to hang herself and to slit her wrist and die. And they also sent videos of a noose many times of how to hang yourself. But
God.
they you know, they kept saying that, "Why are you still here? You know, why are you still breathing? Everyone hates you." And but it's just constant, along with the physical abuse, was just way too much.
And when you say the physical abuse, I mean that what they were hitting her, pushing her, bullying her.
No, it's not. They in the nightclub, although Nicole didn't smoke, she'd go down to the smoking area with her friend, and these people would gather around her and stick the cigarettes into Nicole's
Oh,
skin.
God.
Another time Nicole came out of the bathroom, but one of them pushed her with such force, with great force, into the corner of the table that they actually dislocated Nicole's hip. There was a metal flight of stairs in the nightclub, and just as Nicole was about to walk down the stairs, one of them got Nicole by the hair and literally bounced her down every single step. But it wasn't only in the nightclub, because Nicole went, there was a shop less than 5 minute walk, Niall, from my house, and Nicole says, "Mam, I'm just going to the shop. I'll be back in a few minutes." And off she went, and she didn't even make it to the shop. But less than 5 minute walk, she had run into three of these people, and they beat her. But they also made a fake profile page called Saoirse on Facebook, and in that they said that you were never going to leave Nicole alone, that you were going to beat her up so badly and leave her on life support. So with the physical abuse, and much more was bad enough,
The
and then
threats.
with the mental abuse, it was actually the mental abuse that I think really got her, because it was getting deeper and deeper.
And
Even though she talked
when they
about
did
it and we
these
talked
things to her, Jackie, when they did these things
sorry.
and when they dragged her in the nightclub and when they burned her and when they beat her up at the shops, did you report that to the police or did she report it to you? Did she always tell you these things were happening to her?
Yeah, she always told me. I knew everything, and we did go down to the guards about the fake profile page and the beating and the burning and stuff. And when we went down, she stood in front of the guard, and then she because she was 18, obviously she'd have to make a statement,
Of
because
course, yeah, she's an
she was
adult.
a, and she actually turned around to me and she said, "Ma'am, I can't make this statement. Look what they're doing to me. Imagine the guards, ma'am, going to their house, and they'll kill me. They'll kill me next time they see me." So she didn't make a statement for
I
the
see.
physical abuse, because she was
She was
afraid. She was
afraid,
terrified
yeah.
of what they were going to do to her. Little did we know. And they affected her that much as well, that in 2015 Nicole took an overdose, and we ended up in hospital for 4 days, because of the physical and more physical at that stage than mental. And even after taking the overdose, I thought these people are going to back off, you know, but they didn't. When they heard about the overdose, it was like a trophy they were
I
claiming
was going
of
to say it's like a victory for them. They felt it was a victory, yeah.
which one made Nicole
Yeah.
feel like she couldn't live. Like they were claiming it as a victory, and then it was the mental abuse to online. But Nicole used to go out. She'd still go out every week, and she wouldn't go to the same nightclub. She'd go to different nightclubs. But you know, the likes of WhatsApp and Snapchat, and if someone wants to find where you are, that it's
They'll
easy enough.
find you, yeah.
So they would follow her down to different nightclubs or whatever, just to hurt her. And every week now, Nicole would still go out with that fake smile on her face, that pretend face, that pretending that they weren't hurting her. And I used to always say to her, "Cole, would you not just stay in with me?" And she always turned around and says, "No, ma'am. Why should I have to stay in? I should be able to go out and have fun and have a laugh." And she goes, "I'm going to go out, ma'am, and I'm not going to let these people win." So she always had that fake smile on her face, going out pretending that they weren't getting to her, that they weren't in her
And
head.
I mean, obviously you were concerned throughout the whole thing, but at what point did you get very concerned? Because at one stage she told you she didn't want to be around anymore, but she wouldn't do anything because she loved you so much and she didn't want to hurt you. So I mean, that must have been really concerning that you believed she was actually starting to take these people seriously, particularly when she took the overdose.
And she did. She said that the only reason why she couldn't go is because she didn't want to leave me heartbroken. And then she ended up self-harming as well in the room, like digging her nails into her skin. And I knew that was affecting her badly. And I even if I went out, I would never go far. I'd always just and I'd be in the car, and I'd always ring her during the day for something silly. You know,
Just
Nicole
as an
has
excuse, yeah.
just so I
Checking her.
knew she'd answer the phone,
Yeah.
and if I knew she answered the phone, you know, she was okay. Until one day she didn't answer the phone, and that's when I found that she had taken the overdose. But do you know what, Niall? It seemed to turn around about 3 weeks before she died. She looked like she had a great Christmas, because she was always the one. We'd all go down to my mum's house at Christmas, and she'd take the photos, you know, of all the selfies and stuff and all. And she looked like she'd had a great Christmas. But she started to go out with my niece and all her friends to different places, and they didn't follow her. These people, up to 25 people at this stage, they didn't follow her. And she had two great nights out, and she'd come home. I'd collect her, and she'd sit in the car and she'd go, "Oh, ma'am," and she was so happy. And then on the 17th of January, the day before she died, she actually said to me, instead of me trying to pull her out of her room, to go shopping or just to get her out of her room, she came to me and said, "Ma'am, do you want to go shopping? Because I'm going out, I want to get a dress. I'm going out Saturday night." And I was going, "Wow, she's asking me to go out. They haven't touched her. She's been out twice and they haven't followed her. She's out there having a great Christmas." And I'm going, "Wow, things are really turning around." And the only thing is that red, she bought a beautiful red dress the day before she died to go out on the Saturday night. That was a Wednesday. And that red dress is in my wardrobe now with the tags still on it because she never
She
got
never
to
got
wear
to
that
use it.
dress.
Yeah.
No.
And that day that it happened, of course, on the 20th of January 2018, where were you at the time? You were out, were you?
On the 18th.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, the 18th, sorry.
Yeah, I came home. My dad had Alzheimer's, and I'd go down a few times during the week and mind my dad. So I was minding my dad that morning, and when I came home at about 20 past three, I dropped one of my sons to work, and then I went on around to school to collect my 14-year-old son Lee. And when we got home, we opened the hall door, and everything was fine. Everything was turning around. Great Christmas, great
Yeah.
this. My head was settled.
This was the kind of last thing, because up to that point you were terrified to contact her all the time because you thought it was, but at this point you felt so much better. You thought things were better. Yeah.
Just a bit more eased. And then when opened the hall door, and right in front of us, Cole had got the stepladder and the dog's lead. And she was hanging from the banisters in the hallway.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Jackie. For any mother to see that, your heart must have just left your body. You must have just—I mean, that must have been like an out-of-body experience for you to walk in
It
and
was,
see your daughter in that situation.
I didn't even scream or shout. It was like, no, I never heard it that noise in my life, and I don't want to hear it again. It's like a hell from the bottom of your stomach. And I ran over and I put my arms around Cole's legs to try and lift her up to get the weight.
Yeah.
And Nicole's 14-year-old brother ran halfway up the stairs to unhook the dog's lead. But Cole was still alive. She still had a heartbeat. She was still warm. And when we took her down, we were doing CPR and begging her not to leave,
Yeah.
begging her to stay with me. On the way to the hospital, in the back of the ambulance, which I didn't know anything about because myself and Lee were in the police car behind. And in the back of the ambulance, Nicole took a massive heart attack, and she died. But the ambulance crew got her heartbeat back again and rushed her to the hospital. And these people got their wish because Cole ended up on life support.
That's what they wanted. That's what they wanted. And I know before she died, when I said the 20th, of course, that was the day that she was pronounced dead. On that day, you were in the hospital with her and you got in and lay in the bed beside her. What did you say to her? Because was she conscious at that stage? Did she come
No,
back around?
she
Did she?
never regained conscious. She was
No.
when we got to the hospital after tests and stuff, the doctor said that she had extensive brain damage and that her organs were going to start to shut down. I heard every word the doctor said, but I couldn't comprehend the fact that
Of course you
what he
couldn't.
was trying to say was, she's
Yeah.
not coming
Yeah.
home. On the early hours of Saturday morning, I still, even the 18th and 19th, I was still convinced like she was going to come home, because I
Yeah.
washed her hair in the bed and put lip gloss on her and I painted her nails because my family and our friends were coming up to see her. And I was saying, "Cole, when you come home, you're going to say, 'Thanks, ma'am, I'm scarlet,' with my hair and stuff." And I was so convinced she was coming home with me. But then on the early hours of Saturday morning, the nurse who was minding Cole with me, Cole's heartbeat and blood pressure start going erratic. And the nurse that was minding Cole with me, she put her hand on my shoulder, and she just said really quietly, "It's time." And I knew she wasn't coming home. And I did. I got up, I lay on the bed beside her, and I hugged her and I kissed her, and was rubbing her cheek and rubbing her hair, and all I got to say to her was, I said to her, just let go, baby. And I said, no one is ever gonna hurt you again. I said, no one is ever gonna touch you again. And the last words I ever got to say to Cole was, I love you, Cocoa Pops. And then she died.
It's actually
At five
heartbreaking. It's
26
heartbreaking, Jackie.
something.
Listen to it. I know, you know, you probably think of this every single day, and I know you've spoken about it so many times. And every time it breaks my heart to upset you, to have you go through all that. But I believe it's really, really important because what we're going to talk about in a second, of course, is the legislation and how active you've been. But I think it's really important for every parent listening to watch out for those signs and do as much as you can. Because so many parents are being affected and went through, are going through exactly what you've gone through. Maybe not to the extent and the end result of what you went through. And Coco will be so proud of you, Jackie. She will. I've said this to you a million times when we've spoken and we've hugged and everything else. Every time you come into the studio, we always get a big hug off you. And I've said to you a million times, she would be looking down wherever she is, and she would be so proud of the work that you have done for 6 years. And after obviously that happened, I mean, I know you told me, I think going back a few years ago, that the individuals that were responsible for her death, who drove her to this, they actually went to her funeral.
No, they didn't.
Well,
No, they weren't
sorry,
allowed.
that's what they wanted to go.
Well, see, they would have if I had it where we lived.
Yeah.
But when after Nicole died, I said to Cole, there's no way you going back up there.
Yeah.
And I never brought her back up where we lived. I brought her to my mum's house. Because I said to her, there's no way are you going anywhere near there again? And so I didn't have it at home. So, and even if you like, I had kind of security guards
Well,
to
so
make
what
sure
do
that
they,
none
by
of
the way,
us.
what, I mean, I'm assuming that you kind of, or maybe you did or didn't look at the social media pages of the individuals you know are responsible for this. Did you see any reaction from them? Were any of them kind of pretending to be sad about it?
Yeah, one, I think it was either one day or 2 days after Cole died. I think it was 2 days. And the one main person that started all this, she put up on fake Facebook. She put up a post saying, I'll put a call, rest in peace, Angel. If anyone is going through any of this, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Come and talk to me. I'll
Well,
never
yeah,
forget those words
the
now. And
last
then
person we
people,
talked to, yeah.
yeah, and then the people that hurt Nicole as well, they joined in saying, rest in peace, Angel. And then other people that didn't know anything about the bullying, they joined in and said to the main girl, I'm so sorry to hear about your friend. And that sickened me. That's how
I was going to
fake,
say
you
that must
know,
have been
all of a sudden, if it's
heartbreaking
on
for you,
Facebook, it must
yeah.
be real. Do you know what I mean? That's how fake it is. She was getting the pity and the attention
Yeah.
to you know, where
She was playing
she
the victim
look,
almost, yeah.
yeah, playing the figure. And you know what, Nicole never didn't take her own life. They took it. They took it away, and there they are on social media playing the victim as if and saying, poor Angel, rest in peace. And it sickened me, Niall.
And what was the guard's response to this? Because at the time, of course, we didn't have Coco's Law. We didn't have any real legislation.
No.
So their hands were kind of tied, I assume, in relation to what they could
I,
do.
yeah, they were, I had on my phone all the threats, all the messages, all the videos on how to hang yourself. I had everything on the phone, and the guards just stood there, not through any fault of their own, but stood there and said, Jackie, they did nothing wrong. These
Yeah.
people did nothing wrong. And it sickened me because, you know, if the law had been in, not Coco's law, our law had been in years ago, you know, maybe I'd still have Cole here, you know.
Yeah.
But in the eyes of the law, or lack of law, or no law, I should say, yet these people did nothing wrong.
So you'd obviously had to deal with your grief, but part of dealing with your grief was you weren't going to let her death be in vain. You weren't going to let her be forgotten. You wanted to make sure this didn't happen to somebody else's child. So you went on a campaign, and it wasn't long after Coco passed away that I spoke to you first, that you come on the air and talk to us, and then I think you came into the studio the next time, and then you organised the first big protest. I mean, what were you doing that not only because you really wanted to do it and you believed it was the right thing to do, but it was a way of distracting you, I suppose, from the reality that, that Nicole was gone.
One night, I decided to go with Cole. I missed her, Niall. I wanted to hug her. I wanted to hold her. I wanted to see her. I wanted to talk to her. And one night, I decided to go with Cole. In the end, I didn't go because I got a phone call. A weird, weird situation. And in the end, I didn't go. But the only way I could stay for my family, for my boys, was to have a focus, to have something to get up out of bed in the morning, to do something. I needed something. I needed a focus to stay. And weirdly, you know, I did say, I'm going to bring in the law. I hadn't a clue what I was talking about. Like, how the bloody hell do you bring in the law? And the size of me, like, I'm 5 foot, you know. How do you bring in the law? But I knew that's what I'm going to do. I needed that. I needed to do something like that to
stop
stay.
It ever happening again.
And then I went
to see Helen McEntee, of course, the Minister for Justice, who at the time, I think she had just got pregnant at the time, in and around that time, but it was just before that. And you brought her in some photographs of Coco when she was born, her birthday, her communion, and then a picture of her at her funeral. Now, I know Helen McEntee, and I know I don't say a lot of nice things about Helen McEntee generally on the show, but in fairness, she was very empathetic. And she said it was one of the most moving things she'd ever seen. She said it was probably, I'd say, the most emotional meeting I've ever had in my whole time in politics. So, and by the way, she would have a very good understanding because her own father took his own life as well. So she would have a very good understanding of how you were feeling at that particular time.
And the only reason, Niall, why I had that meeting with her was because 10 days before Coco's Law was to be signed by President Higgins into the Irish statute books, I'd only 10 days left. And Helen McEntee actually said, Coco, nah, I'm going to take Coco's name out of it and we're going to call it the online harassment communication related defense bill. She was taking it out and I sent her a video and I cried. But I did the very last thing I said to her on the video was, if you do that, if you take Coco's name out of that, you are going to put the final nails in my coffin. And I meant it. 2 days later, I'd only 8 days left to get Coco's name back in, and 2 days later, that's when she arranged a meeting.
I know they did.
Which she was very empathetic. She was actually very good.
She said, the minister instructed that a memorandum would be included in the legislation about Nicole telling parliamentary questions. I believe that it will be known as Coco's Law, even if that's not the title. So, and it is known. Everybody, it was actually only recently, actually.
No one said.
Only recently I did. It was at Helen McEntee or somebody else in the Dáil referred to Coco's Law. So everybody calls it now Coco's Law.
I've never heard them saying the struggled with that long one.
Like, I couldn't tell you the actual name of the legislation. But I know even in England they have Sarah's Law, Megan's Law, and they're always based around, you know, things that happen to young girls or young individuals in life. But that was a long road, wasn't it? It was a long battle. And, you know, you originally had the very first protest in Dublin City, which I've said time and time again, because of the broadcasting regulations, I'm not supposed to attend protests. But I don't consider it a protest. It was a rally. And it was the only one I've ever attended. And I was so proud to be there and so proud to be part of it, because it really meant an awful lot to me, because I was bullied as a kid too. Thankfully, I didn't go down that road, but I was bullied as a kid too. And it was so important, because we hear so many stories on both the radio and the podcast about people's children who've been bullied so badly. So it was really important. I mean, and that was the turning point for you then, wasn't it?
And the first protest,
that got a lot of attention.
Yeah, the first protest, it did get a lot of attention. You know, the TDs and ministers weren't listening to me. So, yes, I had to. How I started off getting a lot of attention was I had to put, and forgive me for saying a story, because Nicole, she's not a story. She mattered then, she matters now. She's never going to be a story. She's my daughter. And I had to put that up on social media, which social media can be fantastic if it's used right. Horrible if it's, you know, has its dark sides as well, as you know. But I shared Cole's story all around, with yourself, with papers, radio, everything. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And it wasn't until then that I actually heard TDs and ministers actually mention Coco's Law in the Dáil, and this. It was only one person, if I'm allowed to say, the TD that helped me. Brendan Howland, he from day one, from the very first meeting I had with him, he said he's going to help me. He did say that he'll help with the law, but he said that there's no law in Ireland with someone's name, and he said he doesn't think he'd be able. But before he even finished the words, I just said, no, stop. Just I don't want to hear that. There's two things I want. One is a legislation to make online bullying a criminal offence, but the other thing is it has to be called Coco's
Coco's
Law,
Law.
because I didn't want Nicole dead
Yeah, I know. You want her
because of
memory to live
these
forever.
horrible, nasty people. She deserves better than that. You know, I always said when she died, I said to my mum and dad, I was going to make sure that she was never going to be forgotten.
But you know what Coco would be
That's what I
saying now?
am.
When she hears you saying that, if Coco was around now, she'd say, "Ma, I'm Scarlet. Why was why would she
I
call the law
know.
after me? I'm
And she was
Scarlet,
only
Ma."
called Coco because when she was born, my 9-month-old nephew, he was only learning how to talk, and he couldn't really
Say
say
Nicole.
Nicole, and he
Yeah.
could only call her Coco, and then it just
It
landed
stuck
with her.
to her.
So I taught Coco like it's just a cute baby name
Yeah.
for her. And people will remember Coco's rather than, you know, the
It
other
must have been a
big
very proud day for
corporate.
you when President Higgins signed the legislation. That must have been a really proud moment for you.
No, it wasn't. I struggle with that. It was the most bitter sweet moment in my entire life. I had to lose Nicole for other people to gain
I
a
know.
law. I shouldn't have to do that. The law should have been there. Nicole had nowhere to turn. She'd nowhere to turn to get help with online bullying. And I had to lose Cole through my grief and through everything and bring in a law. I shouldn't have happened to do that.
No.
I couldn't, and when it was brought in, I couldn't go home to Nicole and go, guess what? You never believe what your man's had to do, you
Yeah.
know. But she's not here.
Yeah.
You know, it's
So I know you feel like you've sacrificed your daughter to protect others.
yeah, and I'm not, and nothing has changed for me.
Yeah.
I still
You
don't have
still wake up
Cole.
every morning without her. Yeah, I
Yeah,
know.
you know, so it was a huge bittersweet moment. And I know so many people are proud of me, and that's okay. I understand that, but I shouldn't have had to do that. I shouldn't. It's not a proud thing that I should have had to do. It should have been here.
Yeah.
The law, a law should have been in already, you know.
And you
So
know
I
what? This
just.
is what blows me away. Like, it's not like bullying is a new thing. You know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's got a lot worse because of social media, certainly in the last 10 years. But I mean, you know, I remember being bullied, as I said at the start. You know what I mean? And so much so, I never left the house. I lost all my hair. I got alopecia at the age of 9. And then because it got so bad, I lost my hair. I started getting bullied about that as well. So, I mean, it's all bullying has always been around. And yet it took us so many years to do anything about it. Now, particularly when it came to social media. Social media is around since the early part of 2000s. And that started. And then we had all that stuff. Do you remember Ask FM or that website? And there was young girls that had taken and boys had taken their lives. And nothing had been done about it. The fact that it takes someone to die to actually do something about it. And so I understand the point that you're making, that you felt that she was sacrificed in some sense to protect others. But others will be protected, Jackie, by it. You know, and that is the good thing about it, that others will be protected by it. You
That's,
know?
yeah, do you know, that's that is huge for me, because you can't keep going on the way it was. And even now, with the likes of, you have the apps, TikTok and so,
Yeah.
they are so bad. And I sound like
No, you're right. We talk
an
about them
old
all the
Karen or
time, and
something
I,
here.
yeah.
But they're not monitored. They're not monitored at all. And you know, Nicole's not the only person who died by suicide because of bullying. She's like, there's been so many before and so many after, and there's still going to be so many more. And if they don't get a grip on this on all these apps, it's killing people. It's absolutely killing. And I was lucky enough that Nicole came and talked to me about everything. We knew her bullies. I was friends with one of the bullies family, best friends with one of the bully's family. But there's people out there that are not saying anything at all, and they're hurting themselves, they're self-harming, they're, you know, they're. I actually go around schools and colleges and new clubs and football clubs and parent talks and all, not because I you know, it kills me, it drains the life out of me, but I think it's so important
I
to
was going to
try
come
and
to that because you met, of course,
educate.
Gary Cunningham, and I didn't want to give him a mention because the man thinks he's famous enough as it is already, and he's a good friend of mine too. But you met Gary Cunningham. Gary, we've had on the show many times. Of course, Gary spent some time at Mountjoy Prison, then brought out a book because he turned his life around. And Gary's been on the road with you as well, talking to young people about, you know, not getting into trouble and all that kind of thing, and bullying and all that. And the two of you work together now and go around to schools giving talks. So when you're finished talking up on the stage and telling the kids, who I'm sure are horrified by the story of what happened to Nicole, and a lot of them may be getting bullied themselves, do they ever come to you after the show and say, listen, can I talk to you? I'm being bullied. Or
100%. Between my talk and Gary's talk, we have queues. The students don't even, you know, you have to finish up at a certain time. It's lunchtime. They don't even go for their lunch. They literally come and stay and talk to us. And then no, and the things that you hear, like what they're going through, they just seem to be able to open up. And not only that, Niall, when you go home, you have they search Coco's Law, or they search me, or they search Gary, and the messages that we get, you know, on Instagram or whatever it may be, looking for help. And while you're talking about Gary, I wouldn't be here today talking to you only for Gary. Remember when you said, you know, about being proud and stuff? When I was campaigning for Coco's Law, I gave Coco out to everyone. I gave her out to the media. I gave her out to everyone. But on the 9th of February, when Coco's Law was passed, I took Nicole back. Not Coco, I took Nicole. And that's when I only started grieving, was the 9th of February 2021. And that's when Gary came into my life and literally gave me the kick in the ass that I
He's such a
needed.
wonderful guy. I went through a
Oh,
particularly
he's
hard time in my
incredible.
life, going through a separation divorce, and Gary used to ring me every now and again just to see was I okay. And he's such a good guy, and he's such a kind person, you know. And Gary and yourself have done some wonderful work. I know you've visited so many schools at this stage. You've done some wonderful work. And, you know, and even if that visit to a school makes one young girl or boy, you know, go to their teacher or go to their parents and say, look, I'm being bullied, can you help me? Or go to talk to somebody, you know, it's worth it. And I know you're saying to me, to some degree, it's not worth it because you lost your daughter. But I suppose from that point
No,
of view,
it
you
is
know.
worth it. It is. I'm not going to get called back, and I know that. But when you have a room full of students and you can literally hear a pin drop and they come up, I know when I walk out that I've done a good job with them, and it does actually make me. What makes me proud, when people say they're proud, and I told you I struggle with being proud, but what makes me proud is at the end of every talk, and I say it to the kids, that every single one of those kids and the teachers in the room now know who Nicole is, whether she's in their hearts or their heads. They give me an opportunity to share, but they've also given me the opportunity to say there's consequences now, you know, in bullying and the intimate images part as well. It's not only the bullying, there's consequences now. But walking out, yeah, I feel like that I have achieved, even though it does kill me, but it's something that
So
I
they
feel
don't
I
see the
have to do.
consequences when they bully somebody or say to somebody, you know, you should kill yourself or whatever it is, you know, even the bullies, they don't see that as real for some reason. It's almost like it's a game to them. And I don't think they understand the reality of those things, particularly as well the young kids, sadly, who might take their lives. You know, they think that's some sort of, you know, short-term answer, you know, and there's a long-term solution, which it isn't, of course. And we would urge people or anybody listening to this who has a daughter or a son, please seek help, go to Pieta House, Samaritans, whatever it is, and contact people or talk to somebody and professionals in relation to it. Because unfortunately, you know, it is a fact of life that people do get bullied. Do you think,
Yeah, and
do you
then
think?
even in school, Niall, like people bullying them, and you think, and that person, like Nicole with the fake smile, will come into school every day, probably with a fake smile, saying, "Oh, you're not bothering me," and they don't think it's bothering them. But you know, there's not one person in the school that knows exactly what's going on inside someone's head. So saying go kill yourself or whatever to one person might just go over their head, but saying it to someone else could be devastating because you don't know what's going on inside that person's head, whether they're going through mental health issues or family issues or even grown-up issues, even the age that they are. It's hard, it's difficult, you know, life can be tough on them. So to say that to one person, it might just like go over their head altogether. But to say it to someone else, the same words could be so different in that person's head, you know, and
And
just
did
because
that.
they come in with that fake smile doesn't mean that they're happy.
I mean, it's been 6 years now. Have you heard anything, the individuals in that group that were responsible over time, you know, for tearing her apart essentially? Have any of them ever come to you or messaged you or sent you a letter or in any way apologetic or
Yeah.
remorseful for what happened?
Not remorseful. When I was campaigning for Coco Zaw, they were scared. And they didn't know if this law was passed, are they going to be prosecuted? And what some of them did was they started to threaten me and threatened to beat me up. They actually threatened to put
Oh
petrol
no.
bombs in my letterbox and stuff like that, you know, just cowards
God,
behind
they're relentless, weren't they?
yeah, and they're cowards because they done nothing, you know what I mean? And you know what? No matter what they threatened to do to me, they couldn't hurt
They
me
couldn't
more
stop
than
you.
I was
No.
already hurting. And if they ever did apologize, would I accept it? Absolutely not. I know people probably say, oh, you know, you should forgive and it might
No, I
help me
wouldn't.
to move
Not
forward.
this,
No,
certainly not at this point. I certainly wouldn't.
I will never ever forgive them. The only thing I have got is karma, and you know, I hope karma is real. I'll never ever forgiving. They're living their lives. I know they might have it in their head. It has to affect them somehow in their head, but they're still living their lives. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
And I
I
suppose
never
for
forgive them.
you as a mom, I mean, every day you think, you know, what would Nicole be doing now? Would she be finished college? She might be doing her maths degree or whatever degree, accountancy is what she probably would have went into. Seems she liked maths so much. She'd be
Yeah, she
working in
loved
some
math.
accountancy firm. So you're probably thinking all the time, what would she be doing now? What would she do
Of
now?
course. Because you see her friends doing stuff like
Yeah.
that, or you know, getting their job. She never got to go on her first holiday on her own. She never got to drive her first car. I'm never gonna hold her children. I'm never going to be her children's nanny. I'm missing out on that as well.
Yeah.
She never got to experience that. She never got to get married or you know, have a real boyfriend, or she never got to. She never got, like, when this started when she was 18, this is when she should be starting to live. Do you know, this
Yeah.
is her.
Yeah.
She never got a chance. She never got the chance. And when you see other people moving on, it hurts. Obviously, they have to move on. Don't get me wrong. Do you know, I wouldn't be jealous of her friends doing what they should be doing, but of course it does. You know, that cold's never going to do any of that, and the people that hurt her are doing it, living their lives and
Well,
going on their
Jackie,
holidays
I
and
know
having
you give out to me all the time and I say I'm proud of you. I know, and I
them.
am proud of you. And
I
Gary's right, you should be proud of yourself. And Nicole would be so proud of you, by the way. She would. I mean, even though she'd be scarlet for
know.
you, she would be
Yeah.
she'd be so proud of you for everything you've done. And I know for you, not only was it that you wanted to do this to make sure it never happened to anyone else again, but for you, it was a good distraction. And now that it's done and the president has signed it and it's all there. And I know you're doing the schools, which is also a kind of distraction for you too, but that's kind of delayed your whole grieving process as well, which I know is very difficult for you too, because every time the anniversary comes around, I've spoken to you on many of the anniversaries and I've always rang you. Maybe I don't remember and I ring you insensitively at the wrong time, but
No,
you know,
you're fine.
but it's always difficult for you at the anniversary. So that's kind of it's delayed the whole grieving process. And it's something that
Yeah,
you'll never
definitely.
ever forget. I know how difficult because no mother ever plans, no matter what the circumstances are, no mother plans to see their daughter or son leave the planet before they do. They always think they're gonna go first. So it's
Yeah.
always gonna be difficult no matter what the
Yeah.
circumstances,
And
but in this
especially
case more tragic.
in the cruel way. Yeah,
Yeah.
you know, in any circumstances, losing your child is horrendous. And I just can't help feeling it was the 3.5 years of sadness
Yeah.
before that. And then she had to go. You know, so it wasn't
I know, and from a mother's point of view, you're probably thinking to yourself, because I remember when my own brother died, he was 24 and he drowned. And I always remember thinking, could I have done something different? Could I have given him a lift home that night he went out? Could I have done something different? And I remember my mother was the same. My mother, she was never right again after he died. She blamed herself constantly for his death. What should I have done differently? And for you as a mother, I'm sure that's something that goes through your head all the time. But I know you would did everything you could.
Yeah, do you know what? If love alone could have kept Cole here, she'd be here. But I think as Irish people, we do beat ourselves up all the time.
Yeah.
Would have, could have, should have. Even though it's not anyone's fault with your brother or with Nicole. Yeah. It's not, well, you know, like we did everything that we could. We'd still always kick ourselves around to hurt ourselves just to, we always just beat ourselves up and blame. I don't know whether it just is a self-harm thing or it just makes us feel better. I don't know, but we always do beat ourselves up and you always have that would have, could have, should have, you know, if I didn't do that, if I didn't.
I remember when my own brother died. He was 4 years younger than me. He was 4 years younger than me. And I always remember at the time there was no such thing as mobile phones in those days. We were a bit more primitive. But I always remember he had gone out and he died. He was walking across the 7 block in Inchicore 3 days before Christmas and he slipped and fell in and he drowned. And I always remember thinking to myself, because I was working in Coco's nightclub, which was in Tallaght just up the road. So I could have gave him a lift home that night.
Belgrade.
And every time I used to pass by that point there at Inchicore for years, I used to imagine him in the back of the car. And I'd be looking in the rearview mirror to see was he there. And he'd be talking to me saying, it wasn't your fault. What are you talking about, you idiot? Because that's what he used to say to me all the time. He used to call me a tick and an idiot all the time, right? And I always said, sorry, I'm so sorry. I should have just called you, or not called you because that was the mobile phones, but I should have went down. I should have found out where you were, rang mom or whatever, found out where you were. And I used to have these conversations. If anybody had looked in the car, they would have thought I was mad. I was convinced he was sitting in the back of the car chatting to me, you know, and I suppose that's something that you probably talk to Nicole all the time.
All the time. They say when people die, they say rest in peace.
You haven't given that girl an end to peace in 6 years.
I never leave her alone. I do talk to her all the time. Like, and I'm not, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, oh, there's a cup, that's Nicole, or that's Nicole. Like, it's not like that at all. Well, I do mostly in the car. I would have the chats. You know, Nicole's the very, very, very last person I talk to every night before I go to sleep. She's always the last person I talk to. Do you know, I think to help me, and Gary has helped me with this a lot, sometimes when people die, some people don't talk about it anymore, or, you know, they just, not that they don't care or anything, but they just don't talk about it in the family or whatever. I would be distraught. I think it's so important. Look, even now Gary is getting me to take photographs. I've gotten into photography now because you're in your own head, you're in your own mind when you're taking it. And I always imagine Cole's with me, taking the photographs with me, or anywhere I go, I always just picture her with me. Like I just feel that she is, and I like to think that she is, you know, so.
Well, Gary'd never give you an ounce of peace. That fella would talk for Ireland, you know what I mean? So, he would never give you an ounce of peace.
But he makes so much sense, you know, he does make so much. He got me to eat again. He's the one that taught me that it's okay to smile and laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, missing Nicole at the same time.
Yeah. Absolutely, it is, and again, I say to you, you know, she is looking down. She is proud of you, by the way. Yeah. I know you don't think that, but she is proud of you.
I know.
And the documentary starts tonight. Or it's on tonight on RTE at 9:35. Yeah. If people want to watch it, and you get a better insight into exactly what it was, because I know Ger Walsh, the filmmaker, you know, he kind of has followed the whole journey and the whole right up to this point, and it's going to be a very interesting documentary. I can't wait to see it as well. Because I love looking at pictures of you and Nicole. That picture, by the way, that we picked for the show of you and Nicole, it's just a wonderful photograph because I can see the friendship, the happiness between the two of you. That was probably, Ma, come over for a selfie. Quick selfie, Ma. I'm sure you remember that. Do you remember that photograph?
I do. And actually, see that one? It's funny because She said to me, "Mam, get in a selfie with me, get in a selfie." And I'd say, and I get in a selfie with her, and I go, "Oh Jesus, girl, don't put that all over
Delete that
Facebook."
one. Delete that one.
The state, yeah. I said the state of me in that. She goes, I know, but I look great." And she'd post that, and that was one of those photos.
It's a great photograph, Jackie. It's been lovely talking to you again. Thank you from every single parent out there who's worried about their children. Thank you. Because you deserve a thanks, because you now, there's a piece of legislation that will be forever in Irish law, and Coco's name will be forever in Irish law because it's called Coco's Law. Forget about the other name. We can don't even mention
it. Yeah,
that.
I don't even remember.
So, no. So that piece of legislation is in history now, and Coco will be in Nicola's forever in Irish history and on the statute books, essentially, in Irish history. So she'll never be forgotten about. In 1,000 years, somebody will look at the statute books and they go, "What's that? This Coco's? Who is this girl again?" And somebody will look it up and they'll know who she is in 1,000 years. They might not know who you are, Jackie, or I am, but they'll know who Nicole is. So we'll remember her forever.
Sometimes she'd call me Jackers, especially when she was looking for something, you know, she'd call me Jackers. And I do actually picture her saying, "Yup, Jackers," you know, and she'd call me Mama Bear. So I'd always think she'd say, "Yup, Jackers, that's my Mama Bear." You know, I'd say she really is. She's proud of me. I just struggle with proud.
I know.
But
look, the documentary's on tonight if people want to watch it on RTE. Yeah. It's on tonight on the 20th of January. And listen, thank you very much indeed, Jackie, for joining me today. And I'm sure we'll talk again very soon. But if this interview makes one parent maybe think about what their child is going through and do a little bit more or help a little bit, or maybe if it makes one teenager who's listening to it, you know, realize they should talk to somebody. And that's the message, isn't it? Talk to somebody, talk to somebody. It certainly will help. Jackie, thank you very much indeed. And thank you for everybody. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Niall. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.